Three Cups of Tea, Excerpt 2, by Greg Mortensen and David Oliver Raylan.
I tried to be a tough but fair taskmaster, Mortensen says. I spent all day at the construction site, from sunrise to sunset, using my level to make sure the walls were even and my plumb line to check that they were standing straight. I always had my notebook in my hand and kept my eyes on everyone, anxious to account for every rupee. I didn't want to disappoint Jean Herney, so I drove people hard. One clear afternoon at the beginning of August, Haji Ali tapped Mortensen on the shoulder at the construction site and asked him to take a walk. The old man led the former climber uphill for an hour, on legs still strong enough to humble the much younger man. Mortensen felt precious time slipping away, and by the time Haji Ali halted on a narrow ledge high above the village, Mortensen was panting. Haji Ali waited until Mortensen caught his breath, then instructed him to look at the view. The air had the fresh scrubbed clarity that only comes with altitude. Beyond Corfe K2, the ice peaks of the inner Karakoram knifed relentlessly into a defenseless blue sky. 1,000 feet below, Corfe, green with ripening barley fields, looked small and vulnerable, a life raft adrift on a sea of stone. Haji Ali reached up and laid his hand on Mortensen's shoulder. "These mountains have been here a long time," he said, "and so have we." He reached for his rich brown lamb's wool topi, the only symbol of authority Corfe's Nurmadhar ever wore, and centered it on his silver hair. "You can't tell the mountains what to do," he said with an air of gravity that transfixed Mortensen as much as the view. "You must learn to listen to them. So now I am asking you to listen to me. You have done much for my people, and we appreciate it. But now you must do one more thing for me."
"Anything," Mortensen said.
"Sit down and shut your mouth," Haji Ali said. "You're making everyone crazy."
Then he reached out and took my plumb line and my level and my account book, and he walked back down to Corfe, Mortensen says. I followed him all the way to his house, worrying about what he was doing. He took the key he always kept around his neck on a leather thong, opened a cabinet decorated with faded Buddhist wood carvings, and locked my things in there, alongside a shank of curing ibex, his prayer beads, and his old British musket gun. Then he asked Sakina to bring us tea. Mortensen waited nervously for half an hour while Sakina brewed the Paiute cha. Haji Ali ran his fingers along the text of the Koran that he cherished above all his belongings, turning pages randomly and mouthing almost silent Arabic prayer as he stared out into inward space. When the porcelain bowls of scalding butter tea steamed in their hands, Haji Ali spoke.
"If you want to thrive in Baltistan, you must respect our ways," Haji Ali said, blowing on his bowl. "The first time you share tea with a Balti, you are a stranger. The second time you take tea, you are an honored guest. The third time you share a cup of tea, you become family. And for our family, we are prepared to do anything, even die," he said, laying his hand warmly on Mortensen's own. "Dr. Greg, you must make time to share three cups of tea. We may be uneducated, but we are not stupid. We have lived and survived here for a long time."
That day, Haji Ali taught me the most important lesson I've ever learned in my life, Mortensen says. We Americans think you have to accomplish everything quickly. We're the country of 30-minute power lunches and 2-minute football drills. Haji Ali taught me to share three cups of tea, to slow down, and make building relationships as important as building projects. He taught me that I had more to learn from the people I work with than I could ever hope to teach them. 3 weeks later, with Mortensen demoted from foreman to spectator, the walls of the school had risen higher than the American's head, and all that remained was putting on the roof. Jahan and her classmate Tahira, the Corfe School's first two female graduates, had come to Skardu together as two of the CAI's first harvest of scholarship students, And on his last day in Skardu, when Mortensen stopped by with Jahan's father, Twaha, to inquire about the girl's progress, Jahan took pride in preparing tea for him herself, as her grandmother Sakina had so often done. While Mortensen sipped the Lipton tea brewed not from handfuls of torn leaves and rancid yak milk, but from tap water and bags bought in Skardu's bazaar, he wondered what Sakina would have made of it. He imagined she would prefer her payu cha. Of her granddaughter, he was certain she would be very proud. Courtesy of the CAI, both Jahan and Tahira were taking a full complement of classes at the private Girls Model High School, including English grammar, formal Urdu, Arabic, physics, economics, and history. Tahira told Mortensen that once she graduated, she planned to return to Corfe and teach alongside her father, Hussein. "I've had this chance," she said. "I think every girl of the Braldu deserves the chance to come downside at least once. Then their life will change. I think the greatest service I can perform is to go back and ensure that this happens for all of them." Jahan, who had come to Skardu planning to become a simple health worker and return to Corfe, was in the process of revising her goals upward.
"Before I met you, Dr. Greg, I had no idea what education was," Jahan said, refilling his teacup. "But now I think it is like water. It is important for everything in life."
"What about marriage?" Mortensen asked, knowing that a Nurmadhar's daughter would always be in demand, especially a pretty girl of 17, and a Balti husband might not support his brash young wife's ambitions.
"Don't worry, Dr. Greg," Twaha said, laughing in the rasping fashion that he'd inherited from Haji Ali. "The girl has learned your lesson too well. She has already made it clear she must finish her studies before we can even discuss marrying her to a suitable boy. And I agree. I will sell all my land if necessary so she can complete her education. I owe that to the memory of my father."
"So what will you do?" Mortensen asked Jahan.
"You won't laugh?" she said.
"I might," Mortensen teased. Jahan took a breath and composed herself.
"When I was a little sort of girl and I would see a gentleman or a lady with good, clean clothes, I would run away and hide my face. But after I graduated from the Corfe school, I felt a big change in my life. I felt I was clear and clean and could go before anybody and discuss anything. And now that I am already in Skardu, I feel that anything is possible. I don't want to be just a health worker. I want to be such a woman that I can start a hospital and be an executive and look over all the health problems of all the women in the Braldu. I want to become a very famous woman of this area," Jahan said, twirling the hem of her maroon silk headscarf around her finger as she peered out the window, searching for the exact word with which to envision her future. "I want to be a super lady," she said, grinning defiantly, daring anyone, any man, to tell her she couldn't.
Mortensen didn't laugh after all. Instead, he beamed at the bold granddaughter of Haji Ali and imagined the contented look that would have been on the old Nurmadhar's face if he had lived long enough to see this day, to see the seed they planted together bear such splendid fruit. 580 letters and 10 years of work was a small price to pay, Mortensen thought, for such a moment.